let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I pray that you bless this time in your word this morning. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would speak through each person who is represented here in this room. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we've been going through the book of Genesis, and we are coming towards the tail end of the life of Abraham. And now we're going to transition to his son Isaac. And we're going to pick up here in chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 1. I know we covered some of these verses last week, but just to get a running start. But understand that this is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, because there's 67 verses. And as I talked about last week, when you look at this story that is presented here in Genesis, it is the spiritual application can be the spiritual overlay, if you want to put it, is Abraham represents God the Father. His servant represents the Holy Spirit. Isaac himself represents Christ. And then Rebecca, who is going to be Isaac's wife, is the bridegroom of Christ, which is the church. If you read your Bibles in the New Testament, it talks about the fact that Christ's bride is the church, which is us. All of us who believe, who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, is a part of the church, and that is the bride of Jesus Christ. So let's pick up here in chapter 24, verse 1. It says this: Now Abraham was old, well advanced in his age. He's about 104 years old right now. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God, of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son, and from among the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell." Now, you know, a lot of people get tripped up with putting your hand under my thigh. It was just a symbol of a solemn oath. Like, basically, it's kind of like similar to if you have a son or a daughter and you say, "Listen, I need you to look at me. I need you to understand." You know, sometimes when I would talk to my sons, I'd put my hands on their shoulder and say, "Listen, you need to understand this." So it's a solemn thing that he's saying to a servant. This is an important thing for Abraham. So he wants his servant to go and find a wife for his son. Okay, that's what this is all about. Verse 5. And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house," that was back, remember, in chapter 12, "took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me, swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' and he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there." Now look, Abraham could say this because when you look at the life of Abraham, as we've covered through chapters 12 through 22, it's been about a life of faith, in God, of belief in the promises that God had made to Abraham. And, you know, we've talked about this numerous times before, all the promises God had made to Abraham, one being he was going to have a son, who was Isaac. So God fulfilled his promises. So Abraham has this confidence. Look, God is behind this. God is going to bless this, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So verse 8, "And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from the oath. Not only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Now we're going to pick up. We left out from verse 10 last week. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor." Now, understand that was 450 miles away. So it took about 2 months to get there. So one of the things you're going to learn to go through this chapter is not only does he take 10 of his camels, but he also takes some of his other servants with him, okay, for this long trek. And it's interesting because, you know, it makes me think about in our own lives how anything that's usually long-lasting or worth it usually takes a little time, doesn't it? Because he takes a little time. So verse 11, "And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well." So they traveled there 450 miles. He's in the city of Nahor. "He made his camels kneel down outside by the city well of the water at the evening time, the time when the women would go out to draw water." Now the reason it would be the coolest time of the day. So people would go out in the evening time to get water from the well. Because obviously if you go in the day, it's hot, the sun. And we're talking about a desert area here. If you've ever been to the Middle East, it's much warmer. Now, verse 12, this is very interesting and very important we see this. "Then he said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, Please give me success this day. Show kindness to my master, Abraham. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher, that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now, whether you realize or not, verse 12 through verse 14 is a prayer. Abraham commissions the servant to go and find a wife. And he goes to the area where he's supposed to find a wife. And what does he do first? He prays. You know, oftentimes, what is the first thing that we do when we're going to make a decision about something or do something? What do? We pray. Or we should pray. Let's put it that way. We should pray. We should seek the Lord's face first. Now, with this idea of prayer, I want to turn to a couple of verses. I want you guys to turn first to, put your finger here in Genesis, we'll be back to it, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Chronicles is after 2 Kings, but before 2 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 16. In verse 11, we're just going to read one verse. It says, seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face evermore. Again, the idea is you're seeking God's face. You're seeking God's will for your life first. Okay? Then I want you to turn to the New Testament, and I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, Matthew chapter 7 is part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. So we're going to be, again, we're going to read one verse here in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He says this, and he's talking to, or he's giving his Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock, it will be opened to you. See, the thing is, you have to ask God, okay? You have to seek God. All right, you have to knock. In other words, you have to be persistent in your prayer with God. Now, what we don't like is God can answer three ways. He can say yes, no, or wait. And I think wait is worse than no. Okay? But we have to seek the Lord. Then turn to Philippians chapter 4. Right-hand turn, Philippians chapter 4. Two more places we're going to go. Philippians chapter 4. This idea of prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, supplication basically means personal prayers, okay? So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, you know, God didn't direct me or whatever. And it's like, did you pray? Well, no. Okay, so where's the problem here? It's not with God. It's with you, okay? Last place we're going to turn, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right-hand turn. And look, the reason I'm having us do this is, listen, I'm trying to make a point here. I hope you're getting it. Okay, and this is really easy to remember. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, here's something to keep in mind. That verse doesn't mean that I'm just praying every 24 hours a day, like nonstop. That's not what that means. But prayer without ceasing means, so for example, if I'm at work during the day, you know, and I have a calendar on my wall from God or from Voice of the Martyrs, and every day there's a prayer for a persecuted, you know, believer or church around the world, and I see that, I say, okay, Lord, you know, and I pray the prayer, all right? Or, you know, I'm about to go into a meeting and something is very important. What do I do? Lord, I'm about to go in this meeting. Just direct me. Help me, Lord. Okay? That's the idea, that throughout the day we can go to him. He's there available for us to pray. Okay? But my whole point in sharing all these verses to you guys is this servant in Genesis 24, the first thing that he does, even after Abraham commissions him, he gets to where he's supposed to go and pick this wife for his master's son. What does he do? He prays. He prays. And that's so important for us. We have to understand that anytime we're going to make a huge decision in our lives, the first thing we should do is pray. I can tell you, in my own personal life, the moments where I've made huge mistakes and done stupid things is because I didn't seek God's face first. And it doesn't have to be this flowery thing. God, help me. That's prayer right there. Or God, direct me. Or God, show me. God, be with me. You know, it doesn't have to be this, oh, Father in heaven. You know, and not, I'm not knocking that. What I'm saying is, we oftentimes think prayer is like this. We have to make it this beautiful thing. And if we make it these beautiful words and we pray in the Greek and the Hebrew, then he's going to hear us more. The answer is not. That's not true. He hears a sincere heart, you know? So back to Genesis 24. So the servant prayed. Now, check this out in verse 15. It says this. And it happened before he had finished speaking. So as he's speaking this prayer, and this is awesome. This is wonderful when God does this. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah. Remember, the son of Milcah is the wife of Nahor. That's Abraham's brother. Okay. The wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Okay. Now, says this in verse 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold. In fact, Rebekah's name is an interesting, it means a cord with a noose. Okay, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute. That's kind of a, what did basically the implication is? She was so beautiful that she ensnares you with her beauty. That's the idea there, okay? So behold, she's beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever known her. And she went down to the well, filled her with pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they had finished drinking. Now, this is hard work. Camels drink about 20 gallons of water. Okay, so probably the gallon that she was holding on her shoulders, probably about 2 gallons. So you do the math, how long this would have took. This would have been very hard work for a young girl to take this water and get water for the camels, all right? But that shows, what does that show about her? That shows that she's a servant, okay? It shows that she has a servant's heart. We hear that in church a lot, right? You have a servant's heart. What does that mean? Well, you have a servant's heart because you want to serve the Lord, so you're willing to do anything. I remember at the church that where we came from, you know, I joined the third service cleaning crew. And one of my jobs was to clean the bathrooms. And so I was cleaning the bathrooms because I was serving the Lord. I wanted to serve the Lord in any capacity that I could. So verse 20, then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well of the water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, now check this out, so the servant and the man wandering at her remained silent. Listen, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Look, so he's praying, and as he's finishing praying, all of a sudden, Rebekah comes. And then he says, okay, give me a drink. And she says, all right, I'll give you a drink. And then you know what? I'll give your camels a drink too. So even though so far what he's prayed, remember he prayed that this would happen. It's happening. He's standing there, he's wandering, and he's waiting. Because he wants to see truly if this is God's will, if this is what God is doing. Okay, he wants to make sure that God is the one doing it, that he's not just imagining something. You know, sometimes what happens is people will say, you know, how do you know that God has called you? Okay, well, you know that God calls you because number one, he'll confirm it in his word. Number two, the sense and the impression on your heart will never leave. Because oftentimes, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, people will have these ideas, these fleeting thoughts in our minds and say, oh, you know, I want to serve the Lord. Like, we'll be sitting at work, and work will be horrible. And we'll be like, oh, man, I think the Lord's calling me to do this. Well, we'll say it because work is horrible. So what he's doing here is he's confirming that God is the one who's directing this, that God is the one who's answering his prayer, if you will, okay? So verse 22, so it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Okay. So now this confirms that God is the one directing this. Because remember, Abraham had told the servant, I want this woman that is going to marry my son to be from my family. And she was from his family. That confirmed it. So notice here in verse 26, this is a very important verse. What is his response to this? His response to answered prayer is, then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He gave God the glory because this prayer was answered. I mean, how many times do we pray for something and God comes through for us and then we forget to praise him for it? Okay. And I'm not saying when you praise him for it, I don't mean you whip out a guitar and start, yeah, you know, no. What I'm saying is praising. Thank you, Lord. Thank you very much, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you, God. You know, giving him the credit and the glory that he deserves. He's the one who is doing this. He's the one who's doing this. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. We'll learn about him more in a few chapters. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets and on his sister's wrist. And kind of follow that in the back of your mind, because as we continue through Genesis, Laban's going to come back on the scene and you're going to see what motivates Laban in his life. When he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, and he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord, why do you stand outside? For I prepared the house and have a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and he provided straw and the feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and for the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. So even before this servant is ready to eat. Now, I can imagine what the guys that are with him. Remember, there were other servants with him. We're going to learn there's other servants with him. And so they're sitting there. You know, they've been doing this 450-mile journey to get there. It's hot. They've gotten the camels. They've gotten their water. And they're probably hungry. And they're sitting there. And they're ready to eat. And the servant says, wait a minute before we eat. I need to tell you what happened. I need to tell you the story. I need to give you the detail here. Okay? So verse 34. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he was given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. And by the way, I didn't say this earlier. The reason that Abraham did not want the servant to take a wife from the Canaanites is because the Canaanites were heathens. They were idol worshippers. They didn't worship the true and living God. That's why he did not want his servant to take a wife from those people. Verse 38, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk. Can I say that? Can you say that? The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you will take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. And if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of the water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I will say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to him, drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed my master's son. So he's basically retelling what happened. He's telling them, this is what happened. I prayed about this, and God answered this prayer to show that the Lord is in it. Verse 45, before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebecca coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, I will give you your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, daughter of Bethel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. Okay, and you're probably like, okay, why are we restating this story? Why is this so important? Look, we're really believing that God has a spiritual application to us here, that Abraham is God the Father, and he sends his servant the Holy Spirit to gather a bride for his son. And this bride he's gathering, he's telling the detail. It's just like us. When we get saved, okay, God knows the details of that. He knows the day and the hour when we gave our life to him, when we surrendered to him. That's why he's telling this detail here, okay? And it's also showing Rebecca's brother Laban that God is in this. God is the one who's directing this. Verse 48, I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may return, or that I may turn to the right or to the left. Then Laban Bethel, his father, answered and said, The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. So, okay, they agree. This is the Lord. Rebekah can go with you. Rebekah can go back with you to be Isaac's wife, okay? And by the way, for those of you who don't pick up on this, this is basically parents arranging a marriage, okay? This is what this is here, right? Verse 52, and it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord and bowing himself to the earth. Look, that is the cool thing about this servant here. He prays, God answers his prayer, he worships and is thankful, then takes a step further. He asks, if you will, for the hand of marriage for Rebecca, and they say yes, and he praises the Lord. So, you know, my advice to all you young guys out there, if you're going to, when you marry your spouse, when you marry your wife, go ask the parents for their blessing, okay? Go ask the parents for their blessing, all right? I know that that's kind of old-fashioned to people, but it's important. It shows a great respect for the family. It shows a great respect for her parents, that you're willing to respect them enough to ask them for the hand in their marriage. So verse 53, then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. Let my brother and her mother, but her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord had prospered my way, and send away so that I may go to my master. Okay, and this is important here. So they said that Rebecca can go with them, but then Laban and his mom say, hey, why don't you wait 10 more days? And when I read that, I think about how many times have you seen where somebody is presented with the gospel? They're told that, look, Christ died on the cross for your sins, that if you ask for his forgiveness, he will forgive you of your sins. And people will say, well, you know, it's okay. You don't have to do it today. You can always wait. You know, there's always, you know, it's going to be, you can wait. It could be later. Don't worry about that. You guys ever saw that? I have. But see, when God offers you an opportunity for salvation, offers you an opportunity to open your heart by faith and receive him as Lord and Savior, you need to take it because you never know what's going to happen. So many people I've heard stories of where they were at a church or whatever, and they were opportunity of the gospel to receive Christ, and they don't do it, and they drive, they get a car accident, and they die. Because ultimately what happens, if we reject Jesus Christ, where do we go? We go to hell. Let's be honest here. But if we receive Christ, where do we go? We go to heaven. That's our hope. As Christians, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. We have a hope that we're going to see Christ face to face. So he's telling them to delay, but the servant, okay? And if the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit, have you guys ever had that happen to you? I remember one before I was a Christian, I remember somebody shared with me the gospel, and I remember just the Holy Spirit weighing on my heart. And I rejected it at first. And praise God, I was given that opportunity and I received it. But the point is that I rejected it, but I could tell he was knocking on my heart. Do you hear what he's saying to you? So the servant says, no, we're going to go. We don't hinder this as we go back to my master. All right, verse 57. So they said, now this is important too. We will call the young woman and ask her personally. You guys ever hear this term, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
The reason is you've got to ask personally. It's got to be your relationship. Look, if you have parents who are Christians, that's wonderful, but that doesn't make you saved. What makes you saved is if you trust in Christ, put your faith in him, that's an individual opportunity. It's an individual thing. It's an individual choice. A personal relationship means that you know somebody, okay? You know them, all right? Do you know Christ? But that's fascinating to me here because they say, let the young woman ask her personally what she wants to do. Does she want to go with you or does she want to stay? Does she want to reject what you're saying or receive what you're saying? Verse 58, then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, we'll go. Could she have said no? Yeah, she could have said no. But she said yes. So she, by faith, believed what the servant had said, and she's going to go with this. I mean, look, this, I mean, when you look at this with, like, you know, unbelieving eyes, you're like, wait, this is kind of crazy a little bit. You know, this one day she's out, and she's going what she normally does. In the cool of the day, she's going out to get water from the well, and there's this guy who shows up with these camels and these servants. And says, give me a drink. And then he gives her these gifts. And then he says, hey, come with me. I want you to be the bride of my master's son. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But Rebekah exercises faith to believe, okay, I believe that what this servant has told me is true. That this master sent me to get a bride for his son. So by faith, she, again, receives his message and goes with them. Okay? So verse 59. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and you may be descendants and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. So look, the family blesses her on her way, gives her her blessing. All right, you go with this man. You be married to his master's son. All right? Wonderful. Verse 61. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac, this is obviously Abraham's son. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Roi, from where he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate. Now, that word for meditate means to muse, to commune, to speak. The idea there is he goes out to pray. He goes out to pray in the field in the evening. So he kind of takes a walk, goes out in the field, and he's meditating, he's praying. And I don't mean meditating like, oh, that's not what I mean. Okay, that's not the, I know that when we think of meditation these days, as we think, that's not what he's doing here, okay? And what's he do? He lifted his eyes. And he looked. And there, the camels were coming. So here he's out in this field, and he's meditating, he's praying. And he looks, and there in the distance, here comes some camels. Then Rebekah, check it out, lifts her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. Now, your Bible doesn't translate this the best. Dismounted means she fell. She basically falls. So she's on the camel, she looks at him, she probably is like, wow, and whoop, she falls, okay? All right? But notice, I wonder, you know, he lifts his eyes, he sees this camel's coming. I wonder if they meet eyes with each other, okay? If they see each other. Verse 65, for she said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. And she took a veil and covered her face. Now, in the manner of the East, wearing a veil would have been appropriate behavior for a young unmarried woman, who was about to come in the company of a man, all right? So she puts this veil on to meet him. Now, this is very interesting to me because this is a picture of when Christ is going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. All the believers are going to have that marriage supper, okay? In fact, put your finger here in Genesis. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 19. Turn all the way to the back of your Bible. Revelation 19, all the way back to your Bible. Revelation 19.
Revelation 19, verse 7 says this: "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, that is the bride, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the linen is the righteousness of the acts of the saints." And the only way that happens is because you receive Jesus Christ. You're born again by the Spirit of God. Someday, all of us who are believers are going to see him face to face. Do you understand that? That is the hope that we have. And there's going to be this marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be the ultimate fulfillment of Christ as the bridegroom and his church as the bride. And that's what this is talking about here. So when she veils her face, okay, those of us who are Christians, we are going to be veiled in the righteousness of Christ. We're going to be veiled in this fine linen to meet him, to see him. I mean, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind when I read this. And I think to myself, we are going to see him face to face someday. It is a reality. It is a reality that I look forward to. And as I get older, the more I want to see his face, the more I want to be there with him. There's a longing there. But it's only for those of us who have received Christ, who have trusted in him. See, this whole story is a picture of that. See, the servant goes and draws the bride. And the bride says, "Yes, I will go." But look, let's be honest here. There are times in our lives where we see people, and maybe as I mentioned myself, you know, the Holy Spirit draws you to receive Christ and you say, "No, I don't want to. And for whatever reason you say, "I don't want to." You know, you make whatever excuse you want to make. I don't know. That's between you and God. But Holy Spirit draws you. And so whether you receive Christ or reject him is on you. But if you receive Christ, you become his bride. And here's the other cool thing. I hope you guys noticed this in Genesis. The servant gives her gifts. So just like us, we are drawn by the Holy Spirit. We receive Christ as our Savior. Then we get the gifts of the Spirit. God gives us gifts. See, anybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ has a gift. God gave you gifts. You know that? You need to use it. You need to use it for his glory. And that is the point. So let's turn back to Genesis here. So Genesis, as we finish this up here this morning. So verse 65. "It is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done." So the servant tells Isaac everything that had happened, okay? Everything that had happened. And then in verse 67, "Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife." And what's it say? He loved her. This is the first time in the Bible that phrase is used. He loved her. He loved her. Do you know that God loves you? God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. God loves you so much, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. Look, you get saved, you receive Christ, but it doesn't stop there. Every day you have the opportunity to fellowship with God. Every single day. And it is a blessing, it is a privilege to be able to be in his word, be in his presence through prayer. And he'll speak to you. Look, every day that I read the Bible, God speaks to me. Does God speak to me audibly? No, but he speaks to me through his word. Something I want to share. The more you meditate on God's word, the more truth you will see in it, and the more direction you will get from it. Let me read that again. The more you meditate on God's word, the more truth you will see in it, and the more direction you will get from it. And God speaks the clearest to us through his word. So verse 67, "Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." And also something else I want to add. He loved her. Makes me think of about in Ephesians chapter 5, where Christ tells that husbands need to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so much to the point where what it says that Christ gave his life for the church. So we as husbands who are married, believing husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And so this is a beautiful picture here of our relationship with Christ. Abraham represents, as I said, God the Father. He sends a servant, which is the Holy Spirit, to find a bride, which is Rebecca, for the Son, which is Jesus Christ. And see, God draws you to himself. And again, whether you receive him or reject him, that is on you. That is your responsibility. But understand, if you receive him, the hope that you have to see him face to face again. And let me tell you something. When you're going through a difficult time and there are struggles in your life, that is such an encouragement that one day, Lord, I'm going to see you. I know this life is hard now. It's tough now. But one day I'm going to see you. One day I'm going to see you. And the thing is, too, not only does it give us a hope for it to see him again, but it gives us a hope now that that is the reality that we have. And so whatever we're going through, God is there. But look, you have to go to him. You can't, you know, God, you know, God doesn't love me. I beg to differ. God loves you so much he sent his son. But God wants a personal relationship with you. And that means you can go to him anytime over anything in your life. You know, I remember when I first got saved, you kind of like have this attitude about prayer where you're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to McDonald's. Should I get a Big Mac? Should I get a, you know, whatever? You know, you kind of have that. And then as you know, you get older in the Lord, you don't kind of ask him about that stuff. But look, God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from you on a daily basis. The Bible says that, you know, we are to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And see, and that's one other thing too, not to miss with this. I don't think we realize and understand sometimes how much God loves us. How much God loves us. And that love desires for us to have a personal relationship with him. So we'll stop there. We'll pick up in chapter 25 next week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your scripture. Father, you are so faithful and so wonderful. And Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for demonstrating your love to us that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. Thank you for the hope that his death provides for each one of us here. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, who hasn't received you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would simply say, God, I know you're real. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And come and live in my heart and help me to live for you the rest of my life. Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness. And may we not lose this, Lord. May we not lose the truth of your word in our lives. May you apply these things to us as we leave here today. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
You guys can rise for the last song.